Josh Madden? What did they do to you? TPTB at AMC un-aborted you. Why couldn't they kill off that numbskull Adam? He's brain dead anyway. AMC, it don't make no sense. You turn Josh into a psychotic mess. He was so hot and now he's gonna get killed by Zach. Pratt can suck it. Pratt brought our Josh back. Then what did he do? Tossed him aside like yesterday's news. He thought he'd undo that McTavish's mess, but Pratt fucked it up worse. Colin Egglesfield, you are my hero. Acting this crap like Shakespeare. Pratt can erase you, but Franz can kill you, baby. Cause you walk like a man and you talk like Rocky. And he bangs Oh baby, when Josh shoots. Too bad he don't know how to use a gun, but he can do marketing better than Kendall and that whiner Greenlee. He bangs So wasted by the powers that be, all because of that whore McTavish. Don't worry, Colin, cause there's always room for you on my small screen. Oh, Colin Egglesfield, so very hot on all my children. Such a fine actor to boot. Don't worry, Colin Egglesfield, there's always room for you on my small screen, if you know what Ashley's saying. This week on All My Children, Josh bangs, but Colin Egglesfield rocks our world with his final performance on AMC.
Livia Fry Cutter, he returns to Pine Valley, and the Battle of the Weaves is on.
Pill Poppin' Crystal loses it on the stand.
Does she really?
Yeah, I guess it's not really.
Not really. And Dr. Sinclair meets Adam, plus Annie runs, but Greenlee throws away for Ryan, but Emma's crazy for milk duds.
What are you talking about? I don't understand that caption.
Exactly, and I don't understand this storyline and where it's going. All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
To the viewers, Jordan.
Jordan, we made a commitment.
We watch so you don't have to.
But I don't know how much longer I can do this.
I am your host, Ashley Mendoza. And of course, Rebecca walks in and ruins it.
I used to like her, and now I hate that bitch.
Freaking die!
I gotta say, though, Boo Bianca was really booming up in that black knit dress.
I'm not even gonna throw the blame on Chuck Pratt. I'm gonna put the blame on Addy Walsh,
Darren Little, and Tracy Thompson.
I have to get Pine to access safe and secure places.
Turn down and blow your cover right out of the wall.
Who writes this shit?
Jeff Belder, Chip Hayes, Rebecca Taylor.
I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson. I didn't understand why Jake didn't become Jake Iva and get them out of the elevator. I'm surprised he didn't say, do you have a piece of gum, an old orange juice carton, Tropicana, and a red ballpoint pen?
Joanna Cohen
and Kate Hall. Those are all the writers of All My Children currently. All of them need to be fired because the dialogue sucks.
Suck it, All My Children.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending January 16, 2009.
Which is like the coldest week everywhere, it seems.
My titties hurt.
We just getting ready to do a podcast and I hear this.
It's so cold. My little boobies are hurting.
I thought I was in Pine Valley and the tornadoes were coming back. I was like, what was that?
Do I have to bleep the word titties?
No.
No, I don't have
that's not
right.
One of Josh, what's his name's words?
When you get cold, do your nipples hurt?
My nipples, they don't hurt. My nipples are always erect. I got very perky nipples.
Really?
I do. I don't know why. I got very sensitive, perky nipples, and I love it. That's one of my erogenous zones.
My goodness, what a way to start the podcast, people.
I know, and we got to stop because I promised, what was it?
WMD. You keep calling him WMDB.
No, isn't it?
You mix up IMDB.
Isn't it DMV?
No, WMD.
It's not DMV?
No, that's the Department of Motor Vehicles.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I promised him
WMD is Weapons of Mass Destruction.
I promised him we're going to keep the show all about All My Children and under 45 minutes. So let's get started with recaps.
You just want to go out to party tonight.
No, I'm going home to watch Friday Night Lights.
Oh, I forgot Friday about
Night Lights.
That.
And in fact, Friday Night Lights is airing right now on my DVR. After, is recording it.
After you get drunk and have sex.
I only hope that I'm having sex. I would love me some sex tonight.
We can't talk about anything else just for a second.
No, we got to go right into All My Children because...
I got to thank Norn.
Norn, thank you.
Norn sent us a Christmas gift. We got it after we recorded the last podcast. I just got it a couple days ago,
You know, Norn, I never read this book. I know all about it. I know how
famous.
Tell
him what it is.
It's, for those of you who don't know, he sent us copies of a collection of a comic book called Love and Rockets, which is a big, it's an indie comic that was really big and famous. A lot of people love it. It got like a hardcore cult following. I am a big comic book person, but I'm more into DC and Marvel and superheroes and stuff. But I know of this book. I've never really read it, but I'm going to read it now because
I'm going to read it too.
Yeah.
Love and Rockets.
Love and Rockets. Love
it's
and Rockets.
It's all about Puerto Ricans.
No, it's not. I think they're Mexicans. It's by the Hernandez brothers.
Mexicans.
Yeah. They're Latin too, you know.
All right, I'll try it.
They're Mexican. It's the Hernandez brothers. They're like famous. They're like, you know, like indie comic book artists and writers.
So listen, it was very thoughtful. We appreciate the gift, N69.
And even more so,
we appreciate you because you bring us your beautiful art.
Oh my God, your beautiful, stunning
beautiful
art.
His illustrations are amazing. He also brings us lots of little clips that he puts on the blog site.
I know. And DMV, this is about All My Children because he does
WMD.
He does drawings of the people from All My Children. That's why we're talking about this.
Why can't I talk for 1 minute about Sober House?
No, we got to get to All My Children.
I've been waiting to talk about Sober House.
45 minutes. We're already 4 minutes. Times are wasting. We got to get to All My Children for MWV.
WMD.
Got him. Anyway. Let's start off with one of our, because you guys, we asked you to send us questions to try to make this more interactive so it could be more like Regis and Kelly's show, kind of, you know, because they do that. They get the little emails from their fans.
We are originals. We don't need to be like no Regis and Kelly, all right?
So with the first question.
Except with you playing Kelly and me playing Regis.
Yes, because age before beauty. All right.
That works for me.
First question is from Kim. Kim said, Ashley and Jordan, do you share the PvP with family and friends or do you keep it a secret? Do they know how famous and beloved you guys have become? Oh my God, Kim, that's sweet. You really think we're famous and beloved?
Well, nice. Kim, I have to say, Kim, your question is quite flattering. Thank you. Thank you.
That's Susan Lucci here with us. There you go.
My inner Susan Lucci comes out. You know what I'm saying? Kim, I hate to break it to you. We ain't really that famous.
No, we're not.
But to answer the question on my behalf, I have shared with some friends and family. And in fact, I think I've mentioned before, my cousin Angela listens to the show. My cousin's wife.
None of my family has computers.
Are you serious?
I'm so serious. Do a couple of people that I know, like friends, they turned in and they loved it. They were like, oh, it's like two Latin girls just getting together and talking about All My Children. I wanted to slap that kid. I was like, excuse you, miss.
I like that question. That was a very flattering question. It made me feel important for like a day.
You're so stupid.
It was very flattering. All
right, so the next question is from Super Poster.
Yay, Super Poster. Hold on a second. If you people love All My Children as much as we do, you must go to Super Poster's MySpace site, the All My Children fan space, www.myspace.com/Super Poster of the Year. Go, Jordan.
At what age did you both start watching All My Children and why? Now, you know it's not polite to ask a lady her age.
Go ahead. I can tell that. Well, I started watching a couple things.
I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about me.
Oh, you go ahead. You go first. It's more interesting.
No, but then I'm going to give my age away. No, I will say
who
this.
Who cares? I will say this. We've accepted it.
But I don't look it. That's what matters. I look like 15 years
younger than I
am.
Me, I look a little older than I am.
So I was watching since the beginning. I was a little lad. But I told you, my mother was a stay-at-home mom, so I didn't have a choice. We only had one TV.
So since you were 2 years old when it first aired.
I hate you. Yes, Yes, I was 2 years old when it first aired, and I used to be like, Erica, Erica Kane. So yeah, I've been watching since I was a kid.
I remember when I was like 7 or something like that, uh-huh, tuning in, and I think it was Devin's daughter. I'm not sure who's.
No, Devin's daughter, Bonnie? The little girl, or Devin? Devin's Ellen's daughter. That's what you're talking about, Ellen's daughter, Devin?
No. Devin's daughter.
Devin, because Devin and Wally had a kid.
Yeah, did she ever? I think it was Bonnie. She, like, I remember one day I was home from school.
She
was a little girl
on the show. She wasn't like, she
was a tiny girl.
Yeah.
And I remember one day, I was like 7, and she drank some kind of poison milk that Devin intended for someone else. Anyway, long story short, I remember watching then, and I remember because I was 6, so I couldn't come and watch the next day, so I never knew what happened to the little girl. And I was so scared. I was like, what happened to the little girl?
For you young people like Disco Dan, that was before VCRs, DVRs.
Well before.
So in those days,
I didn't even have remote control. That was a luxury.
In those days, there was no SoapNet. If you missed All My Children, you missed it.
There was no computers.
You just better hope they show some recaps on the Christmas episode.
The only thing that they ever did was Z100, the Zoo Report, the Clarence.
Hello, babysitter. This is Clarence with the All My Children update.
That's right.
Here in New York on Z100, Clarence, you do the All My Children update.
Awesome. He was awesome.
All right.
And then I started watching again when I was, I think, 13 or something like that, in the 80s. Yeah. Greg and Jenny.
All right. So that we're going to do one more. This is fun. I like this. All right. Mel sent us this. She said, here's my question. Who is your one and only one favorite All My Children couple in the history of the show?
No.
And open it up a bit more. Who is your one favorite soap couple from all other soaps? I don't know if DMV would like us answering that second part of that question.
WMD.
But wait. I gotta tell you, I would have said Jesse and Angie, except with this whole Rebecca thing, I can no longer say Jesse and Angie. I gotta say Greg and Jenny. Because
that's
it
not
would,
fair. It would, I disagree. That's no. not fair.
What? It's my opinion. What do you
he
mean?
He didn't do that then. You got to judge based on what he was then.
No, we're talking about, your favorite. They ruined it by bringing this Rebecca thing on. Jesse, they ruined the character Jesse for me. When Jesse and Angie came back last year, I was in love with them because they represented what they were in the 80s. You ruin their love storyline when you do something stupid like this. I don't know.
I can't pick Greg and Jenny.
For me, it's Greg and Jenny.
Mel, I can't pick one.
Because Mel, you said only one. I would have said Greg, Jenny, Jesse, and Angie because that era of All My Children, the storyline with the 14s, and then this Chuck Pratt hole comes and ruins it.
Can I add one couple?
Who?
Because I would say Greg and Jenny too.
I love me some Greg and Jenny.
But if I could add one couple.
Who?
I would actually, and you're going to not agree with me at all, I would actually add Greenlee and Leo. Only because I thought that they were brilliant together.
I don't disagree with you. I can see why you do that because you really love Leo. But see, the question is, which is your favorite? See, Leo, I like Leo and Greenlee, but I like Greg and Jenny more. But I can see how you want Leo and Greenlee to be your favorite because you really love Leo. You are a big Leo fan.
But I can't, but it doesn't, I have to tell you, it probably doesn't compare to the feelings of the experience I had when I watched Greg and Jenny and Jesse and Angie. But Nina and Cliff were a close third.
Oh, I mean, love me some Nina.
And I love me some Tad and Hillary, and you hate Hillary.
Ooh, I hate Hillary. Big old bug-eyed Hillary. Ooh, I was so... I love you, and
I love Daisy and Palmer. I love them.
All right. I know WMV's going to be mad.
And I love Mike Wolf and Erica Kane. Love them.
Who? Wolf wasn't his last name.
Oh, what was his last name?
It wasn't Wolf.
What was it?
Was it Mike something? It wasn't
Mike
Wolf.
Mike Roy. I'm sorry.
Wolf. I was like, she's on crack again.
Let's do one more.
Wait. I know WMD's going to be mad, but I got to say it.
On WMD.
All right. General Hospital, Luke and Laura is my favorite couple. Edge of Night, Raven and Sky. Another World, Mac and Rachel. I knew who my loving couple was.
You forgot Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara is Cruz and Neen. Everybody
Absolutely.
Knows that. Guiding Light, Beth and Phillip. As the World Turns, I want to say, I guess, Holden and Lily. I wasn't a big fan of the Bill Bell Show, so I can't say them. Ryan's Hope, Jill and Frank. I mean, it's definitely Jill and Frank. And who was it on Loving? Trisha and Steve on Loving. Oh my God, Trisha and Steve. I love you. All right, she wants to do one more. We're going to do Arizona Girl.
Yeah, because I don't know any other shows, Mel.
Arizona go, what? Oh, this is just for
you,
girl.
You people think I do the Pie Valley podcast because I have a long history with the show. It's my only show. I never strayed except for once a little bit with Santa Barbara with Cruz and what's her name?
Eden.
That's
Marcy Walker. I know. Kobe Eden.
And she was 100 times better looking on that show. I don't know why.
Anyway, Arizona go, this is more for you than me. What prompted you to start the PvP? You must have been enjoying it. Wait, listen to this. This is a good point, Sheba. You must have been enjoying it back in 2006. And in my humble opinion, the show was starting to tank when you started the podcast. Oh, and what do you think started all my children circling the drain? I could give an opinion on that too, but let's hear from you, miss, because that first part is all you. You're the one who started this with Taylor.
Well, Arizona gal, if you have heard our BuzzworthyRadio.com interview, I briefly touch on this subject, and I appreciate the question. This is a moment for me to flatter my friend Jordan Hudson.
Why?
Because you inspired the podcast, you silly. You did. I wasn't really into, I was on and off in touch with you at that point.
Yes.
And we were always friends, but I was on and off in touch with him, and I was sitting with my friend Taylor, and Taylor really enjoyed the show, and we started kind of rapping about, you know, like the show and going back and forth, and we started talking in a way that you and I would talk about the show every so often. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, how fun would it be if we could just talk about the show and do a podcast about the show? And then it was beautiful because when Taylor couldn't do it, I called you and you always stepped in, and it was great.
Yes, and then and Taylor then you became, retired.
And then Taylor retired because
he couldn't deal with the
because
show.
Because not only did this, was the show circling the drain for him, but it had gone down the drain.
Now I might be joining him in retirement.
And he might be joining. Although, who was it that recommended the Pine View podcast?
I like that.
One of our listeners recommended the Pine View for Pine Valley.
Won't like
and,
it, but I'll
and,
like it.
Landview. I like the title.
Well, I'll say this. She also wants to know when do you think that all my children started circling the drain?
I'll tell you when.
When?
When that damn, what is it? That was Zach Alexander Cambius Jr.
Yeah.
When he put that needle contraption and get those little necks.
For you, it was that?
It was horrible.
I gotta tell you, Arizona,
that woman, Alicia Mitchell, had to act with this dumbass hypodermic needle poised at her neck.
Being the fabulous actress that she did it.
If it was Rebecca, she would have phoned it in.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna say this, Arizona girl. For me, it was little things that were happening.
Yeah,
the fact that they got rid of Trevor and Janet just when they got together and were happy. That was like the first sign for me that I was like, what the hell is going on?
That was my donut.
And I little things like that were happening where I started seeing less and less of the veterans. But for me, the minute that I said, okay, this show has changed, was when they hired those two horrible head writers that had never written soaps before. And they introduced, I don't even know their names. They introduced Fusion and that horrible episode called What a Woman Wants.
I didn't mind that. You hated that.
No,
I didn't mind it.
And I despised
those
little kids.
And your girl Marcy was at the head of that.
No, she was not.
Yes, she was.
No,
Liza was. Kim helped them come up with Fusion because she was their mentor.
Yeah, for like 2 seconds. And then Marcy started slowly like having less and less airtime.
Didn't Liza come up with the name, people?
And then when they got rid of Liza, that's when I stopped watching All My Children. And I started,
Liza went to a nunnery.
I started watching All My Children again because of the podcast, because you needed me to watch so I could do the podcast. I would have come back. I was so upset when Marcy Walker was let go. I said I washed my hands of this show. Because I'm a big Marcy Walker fan. I'm a big fan of Liza Colby, and I hate what they did with her towards the end.
I think
no respect.
I think we're gonna lose Disco Dan for the very same reason for their treatment of Josh, character of Josh.
For those of you who don't look at the blog, look at the blog, because Disco Dan, it's like I felt like that song Killing Me Softly with his song, because somehow Disco Dan, you knew exactly what I was feeling and you put my feelings down into words.
It was the most beautifully written tribute to Josh, the character, and Colin Egglesfield, the actor.
And I'm going to start off, we're going to have to start off with that.
Because I think a lot of people that are soap fans have been a little disrespectful of Colin Egglesfield and the Josh, you know, situation. Don't you think? Is that too strong a word?
What do you mean?
I thought it was you, Jordan, that was telling me another outlet that shall go unnamed was more than happy to see the demise of Josh because they hated the whole unabortion storyline.
Yes. And I'm going to, and like I said in the blog, and I'll say it again
I
live.
I think that's lame, people.
It is lame, because you know what the problem is? You're not undoing the unabortion, because Megan McTavish already did the unabortion.
You're re-aborting.
You're killing him off is not going to make... That's like saying saying that Tad never killed Dr. Madden if we don't acknowledge it, if nobody brings it up. The viewers know that Tad did it, and that's why a lot of viewers are still harshing on Tad, because they think that he, you know, did not, like, pay for what he did. And I'm gonna give you a good storyline purpose. Do you remember when Erica kidnapped Maria's baby? Do you remember that storyline?
Yes.
One of the big problems with that storyline, not a big problem, but fans were outraged because everybody loved Maria. And they could not believe that Erica did that. And even though I personally could understand why her character did it, because her character was a little bit unbalanced.
Cuckoo.
Agnes Nixon agreed and said that Erica had to pay for her crime. And that's the first time, well, I think it was the first time.
Erica went to jail?
Erica went to jail.
My God.
For a long stint.
She did a long stint?
She kidnapped Maria's baby.
But I'm asking you, they made her go away for a while?
It wasn't like 3 years.
Because, I mean, I think about Jessica on What Life to Live, and she's in that loony bin for a little while.
Well, that's because she's cuckoo, cuckoo. Anyway, you cannot talk about What Life to Live.
I forgot.
This is All My Children podcast.
I can't help it. It's so tempting.
DMV is going to be mad.
It's so,
stop it.
WMD. It's gonna be tempting.
Whatever. Anyway, listen to me. So what I'm saying is Tad never paid for his crime. And I forgot. I don't know if it was Becky. I think it was Becky who was brought up a really good point about Tad and the way he treated Dixie with the whole David thing, and that she really,
yeah,
she
Becky really was mad at
she,
us.
She brought up some because she thinks everybody
was very angry and at the Pine Valley.
She wasn't
podcast.
Angry at the Pine Valley podcast. She was angry that everybody likes Tad, and she has good points.
She was disappointed that we didn't defend, and you I'm know, gonna, Crystal a little bit.
And I'm gonna Becky, I'm
Crystal
gonna
Crystal the whoa.
Becky, I'm gonna explain why I try not to think about what Tad has done in the last 7 years because it's not Tad to me. When Megan McTavish came
it's
back,
Ted Orsini.
I think it's Ted. When Megan McTavish came back for this last roundabout and that whole Dixie David Tad thing, that irked me to no end. I felt like they weren't really respecting Dixie and Tad, especially because, you know, when Tad cheated with Liza on Dixie, that was Lorraine Broderick writing it, and the way she wrote it was
Why did he cheat on her?
Well, him and Dixie were at a point where they were kind of not bored, but they were going through some stuff. And Liza came back at a time when they were going through that stuff. And she worked him. She
did
really
she have the same haircut
him.
She had on Santa Barbara? Maybe she seduced him with that long,
no,
luxurious bleached blonde
back,
hair.
She came back with the long hair and she was looking
and a
hot.
Tan.
And it was
You get tan in California.
It wasn't as cut and dry as like, oh, he cheated. Liza seduced him. He was weak. But the thing was that like after all that was said and done, Tad learned his lesson. And he mourned losing Dixie. And do you remember when Dixie came back, how beautiful that was when she came back?
No.
You weren't watching then?
I was. She came back, you mean in the second time? The second time? She came back twice, right?
No, she came back. She left the show after Tad cheated with Liza.
Oh,
then
I didn't
she
know
came.
That.
Then
okay.
She came back.
No, that's my donut hole.
She came back.
I have a donut hole of viewership, people.
And they, it was so beautiful. And then you get them back together, and then all of a sudden Megan McTavish comes
what
on.
What was the
and
whole thing where she got kidnapped and she was in the river? And she had that real short haircut.
That was when Billy Clyde kidnapped her.
I will never forget that woman's ass.
Why?
Because they had her like dangling from something, right? And she was wearing these like tight, high-waisted jeans, and she had this little short haircut, and her ass was sticking out of them jeans. She had a very juicy butt.
Oh, okay, we're digressing. Anyway,
all right, fine.
Anyway, the point of the story is
I was trying to talk about Josh.
I try to forget.
Go ahead.
Slice. One well, point you, for you
listen,
and zero for
listen,
me. Oh, I got it.
About digressing.
But we're talking about Tad and Crystal. They were on this week. Anyway, the point of the story is I try, you know, to forget about all that shit. Excuse me, can you bleep that?
I gotta bleep that now.
All right.
That's
I try to forget
one,
all about
the
that.
Words. Oh, no. Did we decide last week shit was okay?
Yes, yeah, shit's okay.
Shit is okay.
Shit. I try to forget all that shit that's happened because that's not Tad. That's Ted. Anyway, let's get on to the big thing. The big thing
Josh.
That happened this week is Josh. Now, what did you think about everything with Josh? Well, first, let's tell them what happened. Josh.
We're going to tell them what happened, but we got to start at the beginning, and the beginning is Bubianca and Reese and all that crap-o.
Okay.
Bubianca.
Speed through it. Speed through it.
I'm very mad.
You got 15 minutes. Speed
we
through it.
We had yet another BS event that's supposed to be a cliffhanger. Every day we have a ridiculous cliffhanger. It's ridiculous. We started with Bubianca getting into some dumbass car accident. And of course, there's no suspense because we know she's going to be okay. Makes me angry. Zach and Reese rush arm in arm, practically lip locked, to deny that they're having an affair. Because they go to visit her in the hospital. They might as well have been French kissing when they told Bianca they were not having an affair.
They were kind of close.
They really were very close. Anyway, they might as well have been having intercourse. That's how close they were.
It's kind of hard to believe that you're not having an affair when Zach's holding your right breast
it
like
really
there, Reese.
I had a hard time believing that. It's true. And Reese had her hand on his crotch. It was ridiculous.
So stupid.
I saw that on the high def. Did you see that?
I saw
it was
that.
Amazing. Anyway, Boo Bianca is like an alternate life form at this point. Everybody, I think, agreed because she was so jealous. Like, who the hell was Boo Bianca? I don't know this woman. I don't know this person.
See, you know what the problem with this is? Is that they don't know how to tell a story. I'm not saying that I couldn't buy... Why? Why are you laughing at me? Why are you laughing?
You have certain phrases that you like, you
like
know.
What?
You know what the problem with this story is? What, Jordan? The writing.
Well, it always comes back to the writing. Because the problem is, like, look, this is a situation. Everybody's human.
Yes.
Even Bianca. I could see Bianca getting jealous. But you gotta write a storyline and show it over time happening. This all happened because Erica saw something that wasn't even like there. You know what I mean? And
that's
in two
not
seconds
true.
Flat.
That's not true.
What?
These people have been flirting like crazy with each other. It's ridiculous.
I don't know. I just don't buy Bianca going to the extent that her mother and her sister would. I know she's Erica's daughter and Kendall's sister, but I don't buy it.
Well, let me rush through it because Reese sends Booby a letter. That she is going to go back to Paris. She's going to abandon her daughter, her new daughter, and go to Paris.
Who throws in the towel like that? If you and Pedro had a... Not you and Pedro. What's your man's name again?
Carlos.
You and Carlos.
Pedro wears Birkenstocks. I cannot be with a man that wears Birkenstocks. No offense, Pedro. I love you. But Pedro dissed me last week. I'm so mad at him still. He's going to come back soon.
Anyway. But...
Pedro, just say hello, please.
I will have you know, I heard that.
Who let you in? The super? Are you going to watch a show? You haven't watched a show in a while.
I have not watched the show.
How come?
I got frostbite on my toes.
I told you not to wear them sandals with them socks in the weather. It is like 13 degrees in New York City, and he is still wearing them Birkenstocks with them socks.
I am committed to style.
Listen, you can borrow my television. Just Carlos comes home in a half hour. You better get your ass. You better change the channel when he comes home because he's going to be pissed if he can't watch his ESPN and you're watching Classic Masterpiece Theater.
Okay. All right. I will tune in.
He likes Sundance Channel and he likes PBS.
I wish I got the Sundance channel. I love PBS.
You do. You like Masterpiece Theater, don't
I
you?
I do like Masterpiece
Theater.
Hey, Joe,
you like those channels.
I do. And I'm going to go watch so you don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
All
right.
Goodbye, listeners.
Goodbye. I'm serious. When Carlos gets home, you got to change the channel, okay?
Okay.
Okay. He's so crunchy that he doesn't have a high def television like we do. He has the old, and he's got to change that too because the digital signal's coming.
He's got one of those old, like,
Pedro, you got to change your television because digital's coming and you're only going to have a digital signal. You can't have no analog signal. He's got to change. You know what I'm saying?
All right, come on.
He only has the regular analog television with the 13 channels.
15 more minutes we got.
And he watches Sundance over here.
15 more minutes we got to get through the whole week.
All right, fine. So then we got Boo Bianca backing out and deciding she's not. She's sorry and that she's feels so terrible. She wants Reese to stay. So, of course, Reese stays.
That was so rushed. That was like in 2 seconds at the end of Monday's episode.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. They don't know how to write a storyline out.
And then we had this whole stupid ass thing about a brunch with Erica.
She made the effort to forgive, you know, to like...
It was weird. Something was going on with that.
Well, what was weird was that she ordered food like 30 minutes before Reese got there and it was probably cold. Like what was that about? I was like...
Did you notice...
And how did Opal get in her room?
That was true. Opal always does that though. But did you notice...
Opal used her psychic powers.
Did you notice that Reese was like, didn't know what to do with the food?
You're so
she
mean.
She was like, what is this substance on this plate? I don't know what this is.
It was very strange.
I don't know. Oh, by the way, for those of you who don't know, because we at the PvP are in the know, it is Tamra Braun. Tamra.
I always thought it was Tamara.
We always thought it was Tamara. We kept saying Tamara.
It's Tamra. Tamra Braun.
Tamra. Tamra. Yeah. I did love Opal in the scenes, but I agree. Someone said on the blog that they hate the wallpaper. I hate that nasty wallpaper in the casino rooms. It's like it gives me a migraine headache.
Look.
The show already gives me a headache. I don't need a migraine on top of it with that nasty wallpaper. So look, the one scene I liked was when Zach had the talking to Bianca. Yeah. When he called her on her BS for accusing him of being in love with Reese. Yeah. I really liked it. He said, you know, Binks actually pushed it and said something to the effect of, you know, well, do you love her? And he's like, yes, I do. I love that she's there for you. I love that you have a woman in your life. I love that it makes my family solid when, you know, I'm losing, when I don't have my love of my life in my life. I liked it. All right. So the brunch with Reese and Erica goes very well. They kiss each other's asses. They make friends, all that stuff.
I thought it was cute.
Ay, ay, ay. I did like when Erica and Reese air kissed and made up. You don't like that joke, do you?
No, I do.
It was a joke. You're supposed to laugh. And I did find it interesting, although a bit misogynistic again, when Zach pulls Reese aside and like gives her a dressing down for like, what's going on? What's going on here? I mean, he's the one that's all touchy-feely with her, and...
No, that scene was bizarre to me. I didn't understand where that was coming from.
But he was
did
accusing...
Did I miss something?
He was accusing her of,
I know,
like,
he said, did I miss something?
He's the one that sucked her ear.
He's also the one that's putting her in a bad position by making her keep secrets from Bianca about Kendall's health.
Thank you.
And you know what? I don't... See, this is your favorite character. I don't like Zach. I think Zach is overbearing. I think he's obnoxious.
I don't like... I didn't love like Zach. The way he treated, I hate the storyline.
I didn't like the way he treated Joe this week either. If I was Joe, I would have slapped him upside the head.
Then this leads us to one of the nicest moments of the week. Josh visiting Kendall at the hospital. That man turned this little monologue into gold. You ever hear the expression... turning shit into shinola? That's what Josh did. He turned shit into shinola.
I have never heard that expression.
You never heard it before. You never watched The Jerk?
I have not seen The Jerk since I was like 14.
Do you remember when he was so daft? Steve Martin's character was so daft, and his adopted dad says, come here, son, this is shit and this is shinola. You've got to know the difference. You don't remember that?
No, I remember the blowjob joke at the beginning with the girl in the circus. And like, you don't remember that?
No.
That's one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
Oh, my God. Are anyway. We talking about the same movie?
Yes, The Jerk with Steve Martin. All my right, Bernadette fine. Peters was in it.
Fine. Good scene with Josh. Beautiful. He tells Josh that Josh tells Kendall that he loved her because she was the only one who believed in him. And he promises to get Zach for what he did to her. And I want to scream. You tell him.
You know, I can't because you know what? I thought I could do this.
Do your inner Brook English. Channel your inner Brook English.
No, I'm going to start crying because I thought I could do this. I thought I could do this and I really can't. I'm disgusted by this. I have not been this disgusted with the show since they killed Dixie off with those freaking pancakes, okay? I don't understand how you have this actor who can act.
Beautiful
who's
actor.
Who's good looking, can act. He has all these ties to not just the Canes, but the Martins. And fine, you want to get rid of him? I said it in the blog. You should have kept him on for all these months. Have him bond with his family. Have something tragic happen where they had to do the heart switch, just like General Hospital did years ago with BJ. Something deep, something rich, something emotional to give these actors something to work with. Instead, you chose the easy way out. You choose some far-out, sensationalistic storyline that is all, like, that makes no sense. You bring this character back like he's half crazy. I give him props because just like Sydney Penney, he took it. And he gave it his all, and he acted his ass off, and he went out with his head held high.
Yep.
Which I'm sorry, Rebecca, you should really take a page from his book because
right.
I'm sure this wasn't easy for him to play because no one wants to play stuff like this when you know they're destroying your character. But he went with it, and I applaud him for that.
I do too.
And I thought the scenes with him and Kendall were beautiful, but watching the scenes with him and Kendall kept me saying why. And yet, Adam is still on the show. Yet, Kobe is still on the show.
It was very strange to see Josh planning out, like sneaking that photo of Reese's, you know, architecture plans and plotting out this quote unquote murder. It was just very bizarre. I hated every minute of it.
How does Reese not know who Josh is? Bianca's been with her for a year. She never showed him a picture? This whole situation with Bianca is ridiculous. That it doesn't make sense. The fact that she didn't have the balls to tell Zach that she was pregnant. I mean, this is not our Bianca.
There's like pieces
Chuck of... Chuck Pratt, you don't know who Bianca is.
But it
is.
Just sucks because there's pieces of goodness in the storyline.
No, that's what I'm saying.
You know, like, people who are same-sex couples are getting to see a loving, openly loving, very affectionate same-sex couple in Reese and Bianca.
But again,
but they're not getting real issues for me to deal with. Well, that's the problem.
Because you know what? Again, they're going for the same tired route. That she's a woman questioning her sexuality. That she's a woman who might be into guys. And
why can't we just get two women who dig women? I don't get it.
Yeah, why? You know what?
And maybe cheat with another girl.
Why couldn't Reese be attracted to Jesse's daughter? Why couldn't Jesse's daughter be another lesbian?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
she
please.
Looks like it.
I don't want her. Oh!
I don't know. She strikes me as a licky.
But anyway, I don't want to see her any more on the show than she already is. So I cannot endorse that particular situation.
You would love her, though.
Natalia?
Yeah.
Ideal.
You defended her.
I defended her ability to act. I don't defend her presence on the show.
Well, anyway.
That's a very big difference.
I'm really upset with the whole
situation
with Bianca and Reese and them. Because I like Bianca and Reese.
Well, even worse, while Josh is planning this murder, Greenlee and Ryan invite Reese and Binks over to tell them that they found the perfect church in Connecticut to have their joint wedding. Disgusting. I hate this idea. It is so pathetic and ridiculous and phony and fake.
I said it before. I don't understand why these people would have a wedding.
Why
together.
Would Bianca, who was having a marriage, a legitimate marriage to her partner of the same sex, even dare think about sharing that moment with these two people? That is the biggest, you know, it is very difficult for two people to get married of the same sex in this country. There's only one or two places that legitimize marriage, not just civil unions, but marriage. Connecticut is one of them. I think Massachusetts is the other, right?
I know, and both of them are close to Pine Valley. So why were they going to get married in Pine Valley and not have a legal wedding?
But they are going to have. They are going to have a legal wedding. But my point is like, why would all my children detract from this huge event in Bianca's life, in anybody's life,
because
that is of a same sex?
Because they're not really committed. They're not really committed to the storyline.
Is that
not,
really?
I honestly believe that if they were committed to really, you know, because Tamra has said in all like publicity, like papers and stuff, that the reason she took this role because she thought it was such a groundbreaking thing. Well, honey, I'm sorry, but the way they're writing your character, this is not groundbreaking.
No,
we've been there and done that.
No, it's a little groundbreaking.
No, it's not. What? Does she like a guy? Does she like a guy?
No.
Does she's attracted to Zach? That she's questioning her sexuality. That's
these
groundbreaking.
Are two, but listen, here's what I'm going to defend it a little bit. These are two of the most talented actresses on daytime television. And they are making me believe that they are in a loving and beautiful relationship. I know it's weird at times and stupid.
I don't like the way they greet each other sometimes. They greet each other like girlfriends. Like, and I don't mean like girlfriends. I mean like girlfriends, that kind of girlfriends, like the show on UPN.
All I know is
they hug each other like sororities. Somebody said that on the blog.
I YouTubed their sex scene. Their sex scene was hot.
I know, but I'm saying at times when they greet each other, they don't greet each other the way the straight couples in the show would greet each other. They need to kiss
with
each other
with a hug.
No.
The straight couples on the show greet each other with a hug. If the next time Greenlee hugs Ryan, I'm going to freaking throw another chancleta at the HD television. I'm sick of it. All she does is hug him because she's so miniature. Her 4'2" in self match up with his 7'2" frame. She comes up to his little waist.
We got 4 minutes to do the rest of the show. Come on, speed it up.
We get distracted. All right, look. Zach gets bad news. Kendall's heart is giving out. He tries to shake up Jake for a heart, but half-drunk Jake can't help him no matter what.
Oh, my God. That scene was so awful.
I liked it. It was the only realistic scene in the whole thing.
No, it wasn't realistic.
Oh, yeah. See? We're just going to have to agree to disagree.
I hate what they're doing to Jake's character.
All right, fine. I hate it.
Why is everybody an alcoholic in Pine Valley? Have you not noticed that? That's what everybody's solution is? To go get alcohol?
Do you want to know what the problem with the story is?
What?
The writing. Listen. All right. So this is what I love, though. I loved when Erica overheard Zach saying, or Zach told her, I don't remember what the hell happened. Somehow Erica and Zach communicate that Kendall's not doing so well. And Bubianca and Reese confront Erica, and Erica tells them the truth, and they go strutting into the casino like Charlie's Angels.
Mm-hmm.
That was my favorite, one of my favorite scenes of the week, I swear to God.
It was like
click, 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 and you are wrong. Bianca is losing weight, without a doubt. She was in them skinny... Those leggings have been going around. First, Kendall wore them for the tornado. Then Reese wore them leggings last week with them boots. This week, Bianca wore them when she got shot. When she was in that black goth outfit that she wore.
When she got shot.
When she fell over from the impact of the bullet. I didn't get bullet. To it yet. He shot at the ceiling. It turned out I had to rewind this a bunch of times.
She didn't fall because the bullet, her breast hit on the head.
She got knocked out by one of her delicious boobies.
She got knocked out by her own breast.
Yo, you know, she did. Her boobie patanged.
Bang!
Listen, Josh shot at the wall, right? And that made her fall. You would think that her boobs would have padded the fall.
She wasn't wearing her over the shoulder holder.
All right, so listen. They, on their way, that's when Josh goes in with a mask and tries to kill Zach, but doesn't.
Well, tell it right.
You finish up the story, because I hate it so much, I can't
first,
talk about it.
First, Josh robbed the place, and then he did get away. And in what had to be the most stupidest scene, while all this was going on and this man's holding a gun, Reese, who, I don't know, she must have like a photographic memory, remembers that she saw a distinctive ring on his hand. Like, your life's in danger. Your girlfriend, it just got like knocked out by her own breast. And you notice that the gunman is holding a ring. You remember his ring. And of course, she describes the ring. And Erica's like, and she puts two and two together and she knows it's Josh. So she's like desperate to get upstairs to her room because she knows that Josh must be up there. So she tries to get up there. Jesse and Zach won't have it.
I thought the opposite.
She convinces them to let them up. They say, you can go up with these guards. Those cops were the worst actors, and so were those security guards that work for Zach. I don't know who's hiring these, like, actors, but they were awful. They could not act. They took away from any reality of the situation because they were so stiff and bad. So they bring Erica upstairs, and of course, the lesbians decide that they're going to go with Erica. So Erica has no choice. So they all go in the room. And then when they get into the room, Erica was able to convince those cops to leave her alone because she was taking a bath. And then Josh comes out and he's acting like a maniac. He's acting like
this is where
he's
I wake
mentally
up.
Unbalanced. And I hate that they did that to him. They made him like he's nuts. Like he lost it. And,
he starts screaming about Zach.
He's saying that
Zach ruined his life and how Kendall only borrowed the money. I was going to give it back.
Yeah, and that Kendall was the only person.
I only borrowed it.
And to some extent, like, a lot of the stuff that he was saying was right in the sense. But see, the thing that I realized is really cute is the reason that him and Kendall bonded.
Why?
Is because they were the two kids that Erica didn't want.
Ah.
Bianca's the only one she wanted.
That's why he made that dig to her today.
Yeah, exactly. So his gripes with Erica, I believe, are real. But this whole going crazy and holding people hostage, that's not Josh.
I ache for Colin Eggersfield.
I just broke my heart because I'm watching him, and all I want is for everything to be forgiven him, for him to stay on the show, and I know that's not going to happen. So anyway,
I had to watch Aiden and Greenlee make love about 82 times. And I don't get to watch Connor Egglesfield on my screen sizzling it up. Anybody he touches, it's electrifying. If you put him with Greenlee, it would have been electric.
They were electric when they had that one night stand, remember?
For 2 seconds, I didn't even see it.
I know. They didn't show it. They showed them the day after. Anyway, the point of the thing is that then he comes up with a plan. Reese suggests that there is a way of getting out through some secret passage. Erica goes down to get the car. Of course, Zach and Jesse are not going to let her go out because they got the guy trapped in the building. So she's stuck there. And I guess Josh must have figured out that there's no way out. So he somehow took Reese. This is another thing. They jump from scene to scene without showing things that happened in between. Somehow, Zach took Reese. But yeah, Bianca didn't know because Bianca comes walking in and she's like, "Huh, Reese? Like, weren't you in the room when he left with Reese?" Like, it just was, everything was so stupid. So then, like, they're having this whole showdown, and then all of a sudden they show Zach has a gun, and he's hiding behind Jesse, so Josh can't see that he's pulling out a gun. And then, like, all of a sudden,
someone tackles someone.
No, all of a sudden, Reese becomes Wonder Woman, and she decides to elbow Josh because Josh is like,
all,
I'm not.
All 72 pounds of her.
Yeah, she elbows Josh, and there's this struggle, and then there's all this slow-mo stuff, and Zach takes out the gun, and Bianca's like, and then Erica's like, with this pain look on her face, and you hear this, like, what's supposed to be like a bang, but not really, and it goes to black. Now, we all know...
Erica goes like this. She goes, oh.
You would have... you would have to be as dumb as Kobe not to know what's coming if you haven't already read it everywhere. We
it
know
was
what happens
advertised.
Next week.
ABC this is advertised. Not, yeah, this it is not, ridiculous.
But even if not, you have to know the fact that
they
Kendall needs a heart.
They advertised it,
the
Jordan.
I know, but the fact that Kendall needs a heart, the fact that Zach said... And this is what kills me. Zach, did you hear what Zach said? Even if I have to kill somebody to get that heart. Now, this is my problem with where this storyline is going and why I'm so upset. Because, A, Zach killed him intentionally, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. This was not... Reese was in no danger. Nobody was in any danger. Yes, he had a gun, but Jesse's a cop. Jesse was there. He shot Zach in cold blood and killed him. And he's not going to pay for it. Kendall's not going to be mad that her husband killed her brother. Let me tell you something. I don't care how much I love somebody. You kill my family, that's it. That's it. That's it.
You have a point.
All right? Erica's not going to really, like, have any resentment to Zach. Everything's going to be all hunky-dory. No. No. And this is why for the next few weeks, you're going to hear me bitch about in the podcast. Because I'm not happy with this turn of events. I'm very upset with
it. You know what the problem is?
What?
The writing.
No. This is where our show is going. And what hurts me is that I feel like the only people that care about all my children...
Is us!
Is me, you, and the people that listen to this podcast. We're the only ones who give a damn about this show.
That can't
who
be true.
Who want this show to survive.
That can't
who
be true.
Who want this show to get better. We're the only ones.
I actually don't believe
because God
that.
Knows Brian Franz doesn't care. Julie Crap Others doesn't care. Chuck Prathole doesn't care. I'm sorry. I'm really upset about this Josh thing. I really am.
I'm sorry, Poppy.
All right, so that's what happened to Josh. Let us move
on. I'm going
to
say one more thing.
What?
I think a lot of people care. I think the only people that don't care are Julie Hannah Crap Others and Brian Franz and Charles Chuck Prathole Jr.
All right, let's move on because I don't want to talk about Josh anymore because we did it. You guys updated on it. It's a horrible
Why don't we go to
events.
One quick question?
Okay.
He got so happy when I said that.
Because I just
he wiped his tear away.
Okay. This is a question from Terry. Hi Terry.
Hi Terry.
I've got another question for the podcast. Which character on All My Children most resembles you and why?
You gotta answer that.
I would say that right now I'm feeling most like Amanda. I'm feeling very unloved and
wow.
I said it last week. I've been very unlucky in the love department. I kind of feel like the way Kendall used to feel. I remember that one episode where Kendall told somebody, I think it was Erica, she said, "What is it just that I'm not lovable? No, I'm not like nobody can love me." I was like, "Girl, I feel you. I'm the same way." Because I think I'm a good-looking guy.
You're very good-looking. He's very good-looking, yeah. People. I've told you.
But anyway, so that's who I feel like most right now, Amanda.
I feel most like Bethann Bonner.
Okay, that's not on my children.
Oh, what? That's One Life to Live.
DMV is going to be very mad at me.
WMD.
I'm going to get it right one day.
All right, I'm going to say, you want to know who I feel the most like?
Who?
Kendall. Because I feel brain dead and comatose when I watch the show. Without a doubt.
I wish I would have thought of that.
I'm just
funny.
Numb when I tune in.
All right, let's get... We're already 15 minutes over. All right? I made a promise to WMVDV.
WMD.
Now listen to me.
I don't want to talk about Crystal and David. It's too long.
All right, we're gonna say Crystal and David for the last. Let us talk about Frankie and Randy.
Go ahead, you tell them. First note was, why do I have to take notes on this?
What had to be the most stupidest twist of events? Frankie is at the nurse's station, and these two doctors are on a cell phone or some like little PA thing, one of those little BlackBerry things, watching Randy's like porno, and they're in like down the hall in another room. And yet Frankie can hear them crystal clear as day. I guess he's the bionic woman. And he was like, do, 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 with his ear because he heard them loud and clear. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So then he goes to confront them. And then you hear the voice over, like, I guess it's some kind of porn program, which I didn't know existed. And they're like, on this week's episode of, like, porn amateur, ba 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 ba. Randy gets Randy or something like that. First of all, Randy, you are the most stupidest hooker because no hooker uses her real name.
She is the most stupidest.
That's the first thing that every escort knows. You never use your real name.
Yeah, that's the most stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I used to answer phones at an escort agency. Our escorts never use their real name.
He really did, people. He really did. Absolutely did.
I've had that. Let me tell you something. If you knew all the bizarre jobs I had, you would laugh your ass off.
I love it. I
used to answer phones, and I was a dispatcher. I wasn't a pimp. It wasn't like I was in the street corner going, give me my money, ho.
And you weren't making the phone call.
And I wasn't making, people would call, and I was like a dispatcher, like a taxi company.
Right,
I was like Danny DeVito's character, but not as mean. And they all loved me because they thought I was cute. But anyway, but they were hookers. I'm not Frankie. I ain't going down with
them.
I'm sorry. I love what you do, but I'm not going to be like, go bang them hard, honey. Make that money. Could you imagine?
No, disgusting. No.
Anyway, so they're watching it. He confronts them. He gets all, like, they made him all stereotypical angry black man. I mean, it was just ridiculous. David comes in, breaks it up. He tells the doctors, you shouldn't be using hospital property. But they weren't on hospital property. They were looking at it like his personal BlackBerry.
No. They were using the hospital internet connection. Absolutely.
He
was right about that. That was the only legitimate thing I heard all week.
Well, see, I'm not a computer whiz, so I don't know. But the thing that irked me the most was that these two doctors, how stupid are you to be talking really loud in a lounge area watching porn?
The whole thing was preposterous.
It just, it made
bigger,
no sense.
But the bigger most preposterous thing was that all of a sudden Frankie realizes that he is shacked up
with
a whore.
And then what kills me
and
is
now he's offended.
And then there was this bizarre scene where he like goes off on her at home and
home
he says he wants to watch
and
it.
And he wants to watch the porno with her.
It was even like, and then what was even more,
even she's a hooker, and even she wouldn't go for that nastiness.
And then it got even more bizarre because then he shows up at Fusion by himself, and we had to see another bonding session with his sister.
How old is Natalia? I'm so pissed at this. They treat her character like she's 32 years old. She's supposed to be like barely 20.
Yeah, but she don't look barely 20.
That's
sorry.
That's the problem. That's what I hate about it. I hate
not,
her character.
At least Cassandra looked like she was in her teens.
I hate her character.
Well, anyway,
could forget any storyline, it would be the entire Jesse, Rebecca, Natalia storyline.
Yeah.
I'm trying to erase it from my mind. I try to forget it exists. It's the only way I could watch the show with them on it. I swear to God. I hate her.
Anyway, the point of the story is, what was the point of the story? So then they have this bizarre bonding scene, and then she confides that she's going to join the police force. And then they're talking about how Jesse would be proud. I mean, it made no sense. These two characters, we have not seen. See, this is the thing with the Hubbards right now that I'm having a major problem is that we're not seeing this storyline play out. They vanish for weeks on end.
And
then they show up.
I don't want to see this thing play out. I hate it. I hate it. I'd rather answer another question.
So then she tells Jesse she's going to be a police officer. He's okay with it. What was the big... Why was she worried about what he was going to...
I'm angry. She's not supposed to be older than Frankie, and they're making it out like
and
she
then,
is.
Well, Frankie's kind of like... They made Frankie younger over the years because Frankie was old when he was on Loving. You know Frankie and Angie were on Loving.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and there was another actor who played Frankie.
Well, Ballard
or something
on.
Like that.
If Frankie was born in, like, what, 83? 84?
Yeah, and then in the 90s, he was already a
so
teenager ready to
20,
go to college.
So then he'd be...
He'd be, like, 30-something.
Now, if he was born at 84, he would be 24, 25.
Well, Kendall should be like 42.
That's true.
And Josh should be like 38.
Amanda should be like 13. Seriously.
Kobe should be like 10.
Yeah.
I mean, so anyway, it was dumb.
Sore ass, people. Sore ass. I would like another question.
So then Randy gets mad and she goes, she's supposed to be doing something for Fusion.
Oh, yeah.
And she gets arrested by an undercover cop because she thought that he was checking her out because he saw the video. So she thought she'd be a wise ass and he winds up being a cop. And like she basically
offers herself to him for $1,000.
Yeah, because she was being sarcastic about it because she thought like he saw her on the thing. And then she gets freaked out. She calls Jesse. She tells him to call Jesse. Jesse comes. Jesse like, you know, and then Jesse has a talk with Frankie. And then Frankie realizes he's been like an ass. And him and Randy make up. It was just dumb.
I didn't mind, believe it or not, the scene between Jesse and Randy where Jesse reminds Randy that that's not who she is and that he fell in love with her and that that person in that video was not Randy. I liked that. Thought it was very sweet. And then Randy looked at him and said, "Do you think so? Thank you so much. That means so much to me." Was that too much emotion?
No, that was on point.
That was good. That was on point. All right, that's good.
All right, and then another quick storyline. They were only on Monday's episode. Petey got dissed by Colby yet again. In what has to be like, is this even a storyline? Where is this going?
Nowhere, I hope.
How many times can she tell Petey she's not interested in him?
How many times can I tell you I hate talking about these two people?
And how horrible was she on Monday? I gotta tell you, what's his name? Daniel? The kid that plays Petey?
Yes.
You should be giving...
Gay Daniel.
Gay Daniel. No, Daniel Kennedy. And we don't know if he's gay.
Everybody got mad at me.
Stop saying everybody. Why do you think
everybody's gay? Everybody got mad at me because I said he's gay.
Just because they're all good looking
because
and fabulous.
Because I saw him in New York City. That's one of the questions people ask. I saw him in New York City and he is very sweet.
He's a flamer?
I sure do.
Anyway, he
and
deserves...
And there ain't nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying. Deserves, I think he's gay.
He deserves a special daytime Emmy for acting opposite this Brianna Moncrief. She was at an all-time...
It's kind of like at the Oscars where they give the young performers a little golden statue. He deserves that.
She was at an all-time dreadfulness on Monday. Did you not think so? I mean,
I don't watch. I literally close my eyes when she's on because they start to get a burning sensation when she's on the screen.
I keep thinking, she can't get any worse. And she proves me wrong. And she gets worse.
Can we talk about Greenlee's Yoda dress? What, you didn't like her Yoda dress?
If you wanna talk about Greenlee and Ryan and Adam and Annie, you go ahead. That's all on you because I have nothing to
say.
I'll
give you
some
quick points.
I don't know. Before you start, let me say this. First of all, I don't know what the hell this storyline is about.
I have no idea what's going on.
I don't know where it's going. I don't care where
it's
going.
No idea.
I'm tired of Dr. Sheridan Crane.
I know that two people who are married want to get married.
I want Dr. Sheridan Crane to go back to Harmony. I don't know why she's on the show, but my Dixie and Brooke aren't. I have nothing to say. The only thing I will say is that Insani, you amuse me. I love you, and I can't wait for you to get a storyline that doesn't involve Ryan, Greenlee, and Adam, and Dr.
I would like to
Crane.
See her without makeup, though. That's the only problem I have with her. She should not be wearing
update
no...
Update them, because I'm not saying anything about this.
All right, fine. All I'm going to tell you is that Greenlee wears her Yoda dress, and she does look better than Yoda in the dress, so that was good. Emma is very excited to be a flower girl at Greenlee and Ryan's wedding, and I'm calling major BS on this. That little girl should be having a conniption in a room somewhere, a padded cell, because that little girl has been through so much. There's no way after her mother was taken away from her that she's going to be all excited about Greenlee being her new mommy. Give me a freaking break. I hate it. Jerkson comes over, bobs his head all over the place. Ryan's divorce is easy peasy, but Greens needs to find Adam. And then she calls him and he says, "What's the rush?" And she says, Ryan and I are like, we're getting married, so I totally need you to sign the divorce papers, like, really quickly. And then Adam kind of laughs it off, and Green feels guilty. I don't think I should have told Adam over the phone that I wanted a divorce.
You think? You stupid biatch.
Oh!
What? If Jake could say it, I could say it.
I was going to say, yeah, Mr. Misogyny. Like Mr. Misogyny.
Let me do something. I'm really getting so over this misogynistic tone that this show has. I said it before and I'll keep saying it until Chuck Pratt stops writing it. When Jake called her a biatch and then referred to her the saying that she's probably pregnant because she's a whore.
Yeah.
That disgusted me.
Dr. Sinclair is a waste of skin. I do not care about her. She's a horrible actress. I don't care that she was on Passions or whatever the hell she was on. She's ridiculous. She tells that weird guy that he needs to find Stone. She's spying on Annie and Adam. Oh, then we cut to Annie, who has now remembered herself. No one seems to care that now she no longer thinks she's Emma, that now she knows she's Annie. I did like when she dreamed about stabbing Ryan. I only wished it was real.
Yeah.
Like the other fans. You know, what else happens? He leaves. Adam leaves the facility to go sign the divorce papers. Comes back, lickety-split. Mm-hmm. Silly. Then he gets back to Annie, who now thinks that he is Ryan somehow, right? But then she doesn't. She thinks he's Stone. I don't know who the hell she thinks he is. Oh my somehow, God,
this is more convoluted than General Hospital storyline.
They're next to each other in the padded cells. They have a vent. He coaches her on how to talk to the shrink so that she can get out of her predicament.
Why would you want a crazy person to get out of this predicament? She's nuts right now.
There's because there's something inside of me that needs to save her.
You understood that, right? He said there's something inside of him that needs to save her. Now, okay. So, after that, and I'm going to wrap this up super-duper quick. Annie gets all mixed up again. She's convinced that Greenlee's trying to kill Ryan because she dreams it. She's the one that dreamed it, but she was dreaming that Greenlee did it. So, in the meantime, Ryan buys Greenlee a red motorcycle and puts it in the living room. So stupid. And then Greenlee has another preliminary vision that she gonna die, that he's gonna die in it. So she tells him to get rid of it. So of course he does for his little nugget of a princess. So then
we are now 21 minutes over.
Then Dr. Sinclair comes over and she says for 5 minutes and tells him that she's gonna lock up, you know, Annie for life. But then I don't know what happens. The cut to the next day, right? Is that right? And who cares what happens? Greenlee comes over for some stupid reason, and Annie balls up her fist and says, "I forgive you, Greenlee." And Greenlee stomps off. She's lying. She's totally lying. I don't believe her. She's lying. And she stomps off in her little clickety clack Prada heels. And then Adam says some crap like, what did he say? Hold on.
We're 21 minutes over. Hurry up. I tried WMBD.
Adam helps Annie because he feels the same way.
At least it's all about all my children this week, WMBD. I try to get it under 45 minutes.
WMD. I'm done. I don't give a crap about that storyline. I hate it!
What else do we have to talk about?
We only have Crystal, David, Tad, JR, and Amanda, and a little piece of Jake left. Except we have to throw in Angie and Jake sneaking into David's house.
Well, all right. Well, that, we are
exhausted!
There was one great scene on Friday's episode.
I'm exhausted.
Angie and Jesse, before Angie became Black Nancy Drew, she was with... She was. You know how like in the comic books, like when there's always a black superhero. But wait, you know in the comic books, like there's always a superhero. They have to put their like his the color like Black Lightning and Black Panther. She's Black Nancy Drew.
People.
So before she became Black Nancy Drew, she was with Jesse having dinner at Fusion or Confusion or whatever that place is called. And let me tell you the name. It was such a beautiful scene. And for a minute there, I didn't think about Natalia or Rebecca because they didn't mention them. So I wasn't
agree
thinking
with
of
that.
Them. And I felt that this was a Jesse and Angie from the beginning of the year when Barbara and James were writing the show. They were cute. They were funny the way they should be. I loved their banter. I loved the fact that he was trying to get her off the whole David thing. And she was like a dog with a bone. And he's like, he was like this. Prime rib sounds good. The prime rib sounds good. The prime rib sounds good. I was on
no,
the floor.
No, he wasn't like that. He was like, prime rib sounds good. Prime rib. A prime rib.
They were so cute. And I don't agree with whoever said how weave was not working.
It was working.
It was working this week.
It worked his ass off
they
this
said,
week.
They
she
said,
trimmed it.
They said that it looked like Lucy in the later years. And it did. It looked very I Love Lucy in the later years.
I like it.
I loved it. I loved it. And
by
I
the
even,
way.
I even liked Mrs.
Livia's.
Tanya Pickens' rainbow
no,
right
that's not
thing
a
going.
Weave. That's not a weave. That's her real hair.
Oh, I don't think so.
That
girl.
Is her hair.
But it was more. It was more.
Nah, that's
it
her
was
hair.
More.
She used to wear weaves. Now that's
it
her
was,
hair.
It was more nicer this time around because the last time she was on, she looked like Rainbow Bright. It was like, what is up with that?
Rainbow Bright. These people don't know about Rainbow
she
Bright.
Looked, she looked like
Rainbow
she,
Bright was a doll in the '70s.
She looked like,
they don't know about
she
no
like
Rainbow
Raggedy
Bright.
Ann with like streaks. Yeah. Jesse and Angie
I
had
don't like the hair.
Jesse and Angie had that great scene before he got called away. Why does Jesse get? Since when does the police chief get
everything.
Called for everything?
Someone gets a boo-boo. Someone gets a boo-boo
they
on
have
their
to
finger.
Call the police.
They call Jesse.
Are there no police?
He comes running.
Are there no detectives? Why does the commissioner, the chief of police have to be at every
because,
case?
You know why?
Why?
Because of the writing.
And then wait.
But truthfully, I'm going to say truthfully, because Chuck Pratt doesn't know how to integrate Jesse into a real storyline.
Yeah. See, this is what I'm talking about when I say there's holes in the writing.
But thank God we got Michael Knight back because without him, we got no heart.
I know
without
you don't like Tad,
Opal,
Becky.
But without
but
him and Opal, we got no heart.
I mean, he, considering the crap they gave him, he turned it out and he did something with it.
Well, he confronted Crystal at the beginning of the week about her cheating on David, and he said something that I realized, at first I wrote it down, I was like, oh, he said to Crystal, you think Mercy sex with me gives you an excuse to wrap your legs around David? And at first I was like, ooh, Dad. But then I realized Becky was right. That wasn't right to say. That was very horrible to say to a woman. It's more misogyny. That's all I'm saying.
No, I agree with you. But I think it's also horrible to say because you were part of that.
That's
true. It takes two to tango. You slept with her.
Well, I did love, listen.
So if she's bad for sleeping with you and cheating on Adam, you're just
she
as
wasn't.
Guilty.
And Bobby Eakes, you get my most, what's the opposite of improved?
Disimproved.
You get the most
like
disimproved award. I was your biggest fan, lady. I really was. And I still, there's a piece of my heart that loves you and believes you can do it. But you are so clearly hating this storyline. I don't blame you, baby. I don't blame you. It is awful. But when it is awful, you got to make, just like Jordan Hudson said, you got to make lemonade out of lemons, baby. You got what you got, all right? And don't ruin your beautiful, you know, history and track record of doing good work on the show by not working. Because that's what you're doing. I'm sorry. You're phoning it in.
I mean, you're a step above Rebecca. I'll give you that. You're not as horrible as Rebecca.
I'll say that.
She's. I just don't. Maybe you know what it is. Maybe she just doesn't know how to play this. Because honestly, you know, think about it. What these actors have to go through trying to like justify these scenes. You know what I mean? I mean,
well,
she probably doesn't know how to play this because she probably realizes that this is totally wrong for her character.
It's not even wrong for her character. It just doesn't make any sense. The writing's
bad. That's what I'm
saying.
It doesn't make sense.
But still,
one minute she loves David, the next minute she does it.
It's your job as an actor. She gets paid a lot of money to make sense of this crap, and she should try. Josh did it. Anyway, I love Mikey Knight because instead of fighting for Crystal, he gives it to David. And I love that. I thought that was pretty good.
Well, that part I believed. You know why?
Yes.
Because he already been through this with Dixie.
Absolutely.
And like he said, there was a difference.
She should be a mess. Half the time she just covered her face because she couldn't work up tears, obviously. It just annoyed me. Then we have a little bit of Mandy and JR, and she is so beautiful, and they start to have sex, and she, I gotta tell you, she got low standards.
Wait a minute, that was the day that he was all drunk.
He was drunk and nasty with bad ass, nasty breath.
How can you have sex with him?
He was probably so disgusting and slobbering over that beautiful angel. She is perfect. I'm going to say it again. She's another person I've seen in New York City. That was one of the questions. Who do we see in New York City?
Let's answer that question. It is.
I've seen Amanda Chrishell Stouse. She was wearing the most horrible outfit. She was wearing running.
Alejandro.
You live in New
York City. I would love to know every soap star you have seen. I've seen them all, Alejandro.
She was on the subway. She was wearing horrible, cheap ass running sneakers, like New Balance. She was wearing horrible jeans. She was wearing an ugly red coat with big gold buttons. And can I tell you? Beautiful.
Alejandro, in New York City, it's not like LA. To get around, you got to take the train or you got to walk. Basically, nobody really takes
cabs. She took the train to the studio.
And that's what I say. So, like, and here in New York, it's not like LA where there's paparazzis running around all the time. People can get around here and not be, like, known. And a lot of New Yorkers don't even really care.
I saw Chris on 72nd.
I've seen major stars in New York. I've seen Kevin Bacon walking around, Kyra Sedgwick, Susan Sarandon.
I've seen Julie Roberts.
Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins walk around all the time.
Yeah.
And they don't even wear
shades. I used to see John all the time when he was alive.
John.
He was goofy. He was so funny. He would goof around town.
I actually saw Madonna.
Oh, I never saw her.
I saw Madonna and Sean Penn when they were together years ago walking down Broadway.
Oh, really?
Yes, and they didn't have shades or anything.
I've seen Philip Seymour Hoffman a lot.
Yeah, I mean, and New York is great. And I think that's why a lot of celebrities like being here because, you know, they don't get bothered.
But who else
have
I seen? I saw Bobby Eakes walking down the street early when she first started the show. And I actually stopped her and said, I love you on the show. And she was really sweet.
Yeah, I can honestly say that I've never stopped any
of them.
She was
skinny, too.
But she was great in a pair of jeans. I've seen all the stars.
Who else have we seen from All My Children? Oh, I told you people. I saw Tanya Pinkins on the subway.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to tell you right now. She plays Livia. Beautiful. Beyond beautiful. Like, I can't explain it. Like, I don't know that she comes off beautiful on the show. But in person, she's so striking and gorgeous. I don't know what it is about her. She's, like, got a beautiful, sexy face.
We're running over. Come on, finish the storyline.
I know, but I have one more.
What?
Derek Fry, I saw the newest one.
I loved him.
Gorgeous, people. I don't know what it is about the soap. They didn't look so gorgeous on the show.
You know what? You know Lonnie Quinn, the original Will Cortland? He's doing the weather on Channel 2 News here in New York City.
That's really
funny.
You can
see Lonnie Quinn, the original Will Cortland on...
Do you know I had a friend in college that claimed she dated him?
Lonnie Quinn?
She was beautiful.
She was very lucky because he was hot.
Well, I didn't think so. I thought he was not that attractive. Oh, I and think I thought, cute. And I actually saw... And he's another one I seen. I seen him in the lobby to pick her up. She was the most beautiful girl in the whole college. I forgot her name, but she was the most... She was rich. She was richer than God. And she was the most beautiful girl in the whole college. She was about 97 pounds, perfect little body, perfect hair. She had a little southern accent. I can't even do it. She was so perfect. And she dated him. All right. I'm going to tell you right now. The next day, Crystal tells David that she wants baby Jenny. And I'm thinking, now she's worried about her baby? And then, did you see David's face when she said she wanted Jenny to live there? He was mad. He didn't like that idea. Did you catch that?
Yeah. I don't know where I have to say, I don't know what David's planning, you know?
Well.
The evil bastard.
She comes over to get Jenny. The locks have already been changed. Jesse's there with Tad. Tad says he's filed the restraining order. This is a bunch of bullshit. You cannot file a restraining order just because you feel like it.
Everything happened so quick. I mean, Tad only came back on Friday and already they're in court. I mean.
And Adam's there siding with Tad and Livia's there. And a beautiful and naked Amanda tries to stop JR from going to the hearing. She can't stop his drunk ass. Someone mentioned on the blog that he takes one drink and he's drunk. And it's true.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true.
He's over the top. Well, I'm going to say this real quick about Adam.
You can finish it up. There's not much more from here.
Adam, the fact that they're writing Adam like as if he never loved Crystal is annoying the hell out of me. He told David or he told Tad, he goes, I don't care anything about Crystal. And I found that hard to swallow when not even 5 months ago, you were swearing to this woman that they needed to get back together.
I had a different impression of the hearing because we get to the hearing the next day pretty much. And I had a different impression. I actually liked it. I thought Tad's testimony was good. And I actually thought Adam's was kind of chilling because he really did turn so deeply on Crystal that I found it interesting. I actually thought that the actor, so I think David Kinnear is so brilliant that he justified it by being very, very cutting.
No, but
this was like his revenge, this hearing.
But this is, and I don't blame the actors, I blame the writer. I think part of the problem with the storyline, and I think somebody mentioned in the blog, I forgot who, but it's always much more interesting when you show the colors in a storyline and everything isn't so black and white. And I think one of the only good things that came out of it was the fact that Tad at the end of Friday's episode realized how harsh this was for Crystal, and he backed down and told the judge, she's a good mother. Because I was getting a little bit frustrated. It's one thing when you know you're right. I mean, we all know that Crystal's not in a position to be a mother to Jenny.
You didn't let me say my Oprah line.
What?
My favorite Oprah line.
Go ahead.
The idea of my grandbaby living with a two-timing junkie just scares the heebie-jeebies out of me.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to say this right now. If you people do not sign Jill Larson back onto a contract
you're
when
crazy.
You so desperately need her, when there is no Phoebe, when there's no Roof, when there's no Myrtle anymore, you need this kind of character on the show, and she is living up to it. She has taken on the boots of the people that came before her, and they fit perfectly.
Sometimes I think I'm watching the best comedy on TV when I watch this show.
Oh, my God.
Did you laugh your ass off when Crystal's Tic Tacs fell out of her purse? I laughed my ass off. And then she shows them to the judge, and she says, I don't need these. I'll give them up right now. I take them to sleep. I take them to go to sleep. And meanwhile, if I was a judge, I would have been like, that's not a prescription bottle I see. I don't see a prescription there.
No, you know what my problem with the judge was?
Everything?
I felt she should have been on the other side because she looked like a hooker. What judge is made up like that? She has so much makeup.
She was
fine. Those big door knocker earrings. Her hair was all made up and blown out, and she had so much makeup on. She's a judge, not a hooker.
Well, as Jordan mentions, Tad rescinds and lets Crystal have access to the baby.
You gotta show. I mean, as much as Tad is upset, I buy that, but you gotta show. There has to be that point where you show so that you love her, and that's the only thing I'm saying. There was nothing in Adam to show that at one point he loved this woman.
Do we need to talk about? We already sort of covered it. Do we need to talk about Angie and Jake going to David Hayward's apartment?
Yeah, I mean Angie is like a dog with a bone, and she hooks up with Jake. I gotta tell you, I'm gonna tell you right off.
They want to oust David because they're pissed off at how they've been treated.
Jake found out that a man has been getting checked, so he went to confront the man about it.
But also, Angie knows that David Hayward's been giving Crystal drugs, so she thinks that he made the drugs. So they want
to
get him on this.
Prove it and stuff. Jake, you know, I'm really disgusted with what they're doing to Ricky Paul Golden on the show right now. I gotta tell you, the way he talked to Amanda, you would think that Amanda dumped him.
He talked to Amanda this week at the bar and gave her crap about being possibly being pregnant.
And the reason she's not pregnant because she's like,
yeah, we forgot to mention that. Amanda thinks she's pregnant.
I mean,
she takes a pee test.
But I'm thinking, you dumped her. If anybody should be giving anybody attitude, it's her to you.
If anybody else on this show takes a pregnancy test without putting that cap back on that damn wand, I'm going to scream. It's full of pee-pee. You got to cover it. You got to pee on it.
I'm really upset with all my children.
Right now. I know you're upset, baby. I don't mean to diminish it, but I would like to talk about pleasant things.
Wait, let's do this one question because this
you actually... You know I was leading up to One Life, don't you?
I promise WMVDD we're not going to do it.
Listen. No, that's not fair. No offense. I want to talk about it.
Wait, let's do this because this question is really good. I love hearing you guys talk about Opal Langley. Maybe you all could have a segment that revisits some great All My Children history that we haven't thought about in years. That would be fun, and it would provide some positive talk for Ashley since she gets so down about the Brad Hall stuff. I think that's great. You know, I was thinking about it, and what I want to talk about today really quickly, Cindy Chandler. That was a great moment in All My Children history.
Yes.
Cindy Parker came to town with her little son, Scott Parker, and her ex-husband used to do drugs with Mark Dalton. Mark Dalton, Erica's brother, who was also a drug addict, and gave her AIDS. And at that time, nobody really knew about it.
There was no cure. There was no cocktail, people.
And it was such a beautiful storyline because it touched so many people in the show. Angie was the doctor on her case, and Angie became friends with her. Jesse was so fearful about her moving in. And it was something that Agnes Nixon was
a groundbreaking storyline.
Nobody had really done it with such heart and really did it all the way. Her and Stuart fell in love. Stuart fell in love with her regardless of the fact that she had HIV. And Sky got involved with some people in the community that were trying to oust Cindy from town. Because, you know, they were hate mongers. They didn't. And you shouldn't even say they were hate mongers because when people don't know.
They were ignorant.
They're ignorant and they're scared. And at one point, they almost killed. I think it was Sky. I think Sky got trapped in a building that they were trying to burn down that they thought Cindy was in. I mean, it was a beautiful storyline that played out. And Cindy wound up getting married to Stuart, even though she had the AIDS. And eventually, Cindy passed away.
And she went on to ruin the show, Guiding Light. Ellen Wheeler, executive producer.
Before she was known as the woman, and I gotta say, she did not ruin Guiding. Like it's hard what she's doing. I think Jill Farren Phelps, who is ruining General Hospital, she really ruined Guiding Light. But we won't get into that because the thing was that was for me one of the most beautiful storylines in All My Children, and I loved it.
Why can't we talk about One Life to Live for 2, 5, 2, 3, 5 minutes? All I know is I come home and I run home and I watch. All my children, and then I run to see One Life to Live.
I made a promise.
One Life to Live is like my pleasure show now.
Oh, we got one last question from Disco Dan. I want to know what your thoughts are concerning the former soap, Port Charles. What did you think of it, and how do you think it has impacted the soap industry as a whole, not only on ABC Daytime, but CBS and NBC as well? You didn't watch Port Charles.
Of course not. I watch All My Children. I told you. It's Santa Barbara for 3 weeks.
Disco Dan, I know you love Port Charles. I got to tell you, I started watching Port Charles and I loved it at the beginning, and then they fired Wendy Rich and brought on a new producer and a new head writer, and in that one episode the show changed drastically. All of a sudden the characters were acting bizarre. Joe broke up with what's her name? Scotty's daughter, I forgot her name, Karen, and it was bizarre, and I thought, what is happening to my soap? Because it started out like a very traditional soap. It was very Grey's Anatomy. It was all about these young interns. It was very different from General Hospital, but it was an old school soap opera, and I loved it. And then all of a sudden it became bizarre. I stopped watching, but my mom, Mama Hudson, loved it towards the end. I know you loved that whole Lucy the Vampire. I could not get into that.
Horrible.
I love Dark Shadows.
The show ended after that vampire
I love
crap.
Dark Shadows because Dark Shadows was Dark Shadows. But when you have a show called Port Charles that takes place in the same town as General Hospital, and there's been crossovers between the two shows, and yet when I'm watching General Hospital, there's no mention that a vampire is running around town.
Well,
it's kind of stupid.
I actually remember seeing, the only thing I remember about Port Charles is all the promos because it aired right before All My Children. And I remember seeing all the promos, and I remember actually feeling bad for the actor that plays McBain because he was a vampire. And one like preview, they showed him like opening his mouth and you see the fangs, it's like, rah! And I was like, this poor guy. I felt so bad for him. I felt horrible for him.
I mean, and I love vampires, but you know what?
Lucy Coe.
She was Lucy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, my God. Lucy Coe was amazing. What the hell happened to her?
You know what?
I love her. That actress, what is her name?
Lynn Herring.
Lynn Herring is one of the most beautiful, talented actresses on daytime.
It was made public. It was made public in the magazines that when they spin them off for their own show, it was an agreement that if poor Charles didn't make it, that John Lindstrom and Lynn Herring would come back to General Hospital. They did not keep that. When the part Charles was gone, they were gone.
That stinks. Well, all I'm going to say is that I am freaking captivated by Miss Jessica Tess Bess and Brody. Oh, and that storyline is so good. It is good. Jessica Tess Bess is now remembering what happened to Chloe. Her daughter. And it's astounding. And then you pair that with what Brody's going through with this kid. He's seeing visions of the kid that he killed in Iraq, both with a gun and without a gun. And he's really tortured over it because he feels like if the kid had a gun, then maybe there was some justification for him killing the kid. But if the kid didn't have a gun, this will haunt him forever and ever. Either way, it's going to haunt him, just like Gigi said.
Yeah.
Gigi is a mini Lisa Rinna, except she talks so slow and so, like, everything is, like, so enunciated in, like, the weirdest way. Don't you think?
She's like Beth Ellers.
She wears the Beth Ellers like that. Beth Ellers is sort of nasally.
We didn't have no Brat and Taylor.
No Brat and Taylor. The only storyline I like. Right. Anyway, captivating. I'm going to tell you something else.
What?
The whole Christian Vanessa thing can go away. They having sex, to me, it was like, psst.
Again, I have faith in Ron C that this is going somewhere because of A. Martinez.
She's the horrible. Yes, I agree with you.
I think there's something more.
The two of them.
There's something more.
Because he didn't do that, right? He didn't kill the mother.
No, she did.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But she is
building into something.
She's not even attractive to me. I don't know what it is. I don't find her attractive. And in fact, I thought the sex scene with her, Christian, was so passionless and so boring. I just don't think she's a good actress. Mm-hmm. She's better than any of the worst actresses on All My Children, but she's still not a good actress.
Yeah.
Anyway, hate that storyline. Love me some David Vicaroshi and Dorian. And whoever said that she's too old to be going down on that man is crazy. That woman is a pro. She was sexier. Her disappearing down his crotch was the sexiest thing I've seen in daytime since I don't know when.
I gotta say, I agree with you.
Since Babe and Josh in the shower.
Well, no, you never saw McBain and Blair when they had their sex.
Oh, I didn't see that. I told you about that. Oh,
when that heel went up against the wall and then she pulled him.
Well, Jamie and Julia had that. Mini Hands Julia. That was hot in the shower. He's crying. That was hot. They had 10 times, 100 times more chemistry than him and Alexa Havens had.
Let me tell you something. Dorian and David cracked me up. Dorian.
She's a pro.
Dorian is amazing.
She's different. She's not like Erica. Erica is a woman that will let you fuck her. All right? She's not a woman who takes part. You are blessed.
You're going to bleep that, right?
Of course.
Okay.
She is a woman that if you are so privileged, she will let you enter her vagina. Okay? That is not Dorian. Dorian has a lust for life that is infectious.
She's very sexual. Dorian, the character Dorian has always been very sexual.
She's into physical comforts.
That's what's annoying
about Erica. Dorian is into creature comforts. She likes her champagne, the finest champagne, the finest silks on her body, and the hottest sex and the hottest men and the most brightest golden jewels. She's a woman who loves and lives hard.
And her character's always been with younger guys.
And Erica will let you fuck her. What? It's true. It's true. I'm not dissing Miss Erica Kane. She's a classic. She's a legend in her own right. But you cannot tell me that Dorian is not the most entertaining old dame on TV. She's amazing.
I love me some Robin Strasser.
And David Vicaroshi is kicking butt.
He's hysterical.
He cracks me up on a daily basis.
Tuck Watkins, you amuse me. And of course, we got to mention the storyline that caused so much controversy on our blog between me and WMVDV because we didn't agree on it.
Matthew
Buchanan. I thought it was brilliantly done. What did you think?
WMT. I'm so sorry, baby. I gotta disagree. I think it was excellently done. Yeah. I think even the best kids are, you know, the pressures that you go through at school do affect the choices you make.
Yeah, and then to have your father be the police chief and your mother be the DA.
I'm gonna tell you the truth. I was an excellent student when I was a little girl, and I was raised Puerto Rican. The white kids were raised differently than the Puerto Rican kids. The white kids were like, screw you, Ma. Ma, you're an asshole. And if I even said the word God, I got pique in my mouth. My parents were very strict.
No, my parents were very strict, too.
I was a very good girl. But I did. I rebelled a little bit in junior high. I got into fights here and there. You know, I pretended I wasn't a good student because I was embarrassed because people would throw spitballs at me because they mixed up all the good students and the bad students. Mm-hmm. So they throw spitballs on my head. So I'd pretend I was a bad student.
Well, all I gotta say is that.
So I'm saying, to me, I understood why. I know he's always been a good kid, WND. I get that. I hear what you're saying.
But he's growing up.
But he's growing up, and those years are awkward.
I thought he was so good, though. I thought he was so. His acting was so good, and when he was like, "The hell I will," I was like, "Whoa!" I was like, "Little Matthew."
Do you want to know what I loved most, though? I love Bo being kind of tortured about how to approach the whole drug talk because he himself drinks. He's been drunk in front of his son.
Well, no, but see, that's the thing. That's the thing that I love. I love the fact that Bo didn't think about all that really because he was ramming Matthew and Matthew called him on it.
But then he went back to talk to what's his face, Rex.
Right.
And he admitted that he was confused because like what do you say to your kid when you're guilty of that stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
I loved it.
And I love
the fact that's real.
I love the fact that Nora chose to be honest with Matthew. I thought that was brilliantly
done.
She
was good and she made a good point. She's like, I was an adult.
I love what Bo kept saying, like, we went in and then the camera would pan to Nora and she was like, because she knew. She was like, well. But that episode was Tuesday's episode. And the thing I was telling that I loved about Tuesday's episode was that it was all about relationships of parents with their children. Because while the same way that Bo was dealing with that, Rex had to deal with his son and talking about sex.
Oh, the sex talk was so good.
A girl or a guy?
If you have any other questions, Shane, you can ask. What's a clitoris? Wasn't that the best?
It was the best. And then
Marcy goes, she spits out her beer.
And of course, like, you also had Star and Todd at the
graveside.
Then you also had even more heart-wrenching, Cole and Marty.
Marty broke up with her son. That bitch.
That was some intense stuff.
Marty's being a biatch. She's losing me. But for as the character, not as the actress, the character is screwed up.
Yeah, well.
She's rejecting her own son and acting like a teenager.
Well, you gotta remember, she doesn't remember him. She has no memory.
I don't give a shit. There should be some obligation in her little cold, blackened heart.
She doesn't remember him.
But she is his mother.
But what I'm saying is, you're telling somebody who has no memory of having this kid going through labor. She doesn't know him. So it's like a total stranger to her.
If you came up to me and said, Ashley, I'm your brother, just because I had no memory of growing up with you, I would try to embrace you. I would try to learn about you. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
But you wouldn't also have to be dealing with the fact that you slept with the man who raped you when you were in college. She's going through a lot. I'm not saying that she's pissed at her. I'm mad at her too. But what I'm saying is she's going
through
some shit.
I'm glad Nora called her on it. That's what I'm saying.
Well, Nora's fears.
And WMD, I'm glad you called us on the length of our show and that we listened to you.
I'm sorry. I tried.
We tried. We talk too much. What can we say? Here's what I suggest. You got a little fast forward button on your little iPod and your little computer. Just forward it a little bit.
And I try because I want to get out of here and watch Friday Night Lights.
I would say if you had to choose, I would skip the Greenlee Ryan and the Randy review. I would just skip all that. That's what I would do.
Watch Friday Night Lights, people.
It's on Friday night, 9 p.m. It's too late. Isn't the last episode on Friday night?
No, this is the first episode of the season.
Oh, the first episode of the season is on Friday night.
Watch Friday Night Lights, Friday nights at 9 p.m.
All right. We don't get paid for that, but we should. Anyway, if you want, give us more feedback. We love it, and we try to take it to heart, as Jordan so beautifully demonstrated this week, but failed at. If you want to write us, you can email us at pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com. That's a very good place to reach us. Or you can go to our MySpace page. I feel guilty giving this address out. Ugh, I'm so bad about MySpace. www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast. Or you can go to our website, www.pinevalleypodcast.com. Click on a couple of those links. But most importantly, click on the blog site because that's where the action is hot.
Yes, the blog is jumping.
The blog is jumping.
I hope you know everything was in just WMVBDV.
WMD.
You know we love you.
We do love you. And we appreciate your feedback because I think you're right. It's just hard to sometimes get Jordan to shut up. He likes to talk.
I love how you put the blame all on me.
I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
And now, a little ditty written by our friend Laura from the blog. An ode to Josh Madden called I Shot the Unabortion. I shot the unabortion, and he was a doctor and a pilot. Oh no, oh! He crashed his plane, and I shot the TV producer for Miss Kane. Ooh, ooh, ooh! All around in my hometown, I've been trying to bring him down. I want to bring him in guilty for the stealing of my money. For the stealing of my money. But I say, I shot the abortion, but I swear it was in self-defense. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I shot the abortion, oh Lord, and it won't be a capital offense. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Josh Madden Martin always hated me for the $20 million he stole. Every time Doc Madden planted a seed, Chuck Pratt killed him, now I'm on the show. He said kill him, now I'm on the show. And so, read it in the news. Oh Lord, but I swear it was to get his heart. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I shot the abortion, but his organs got a Kingdom Heart. Ooh, ooh, ooh. The script came my way one day, and I wanted out of town, yeah. All of a sudden, I saw Brian Franz. Amen. To bring our show down. So I shot him down. And I said, I am doing this for the